and city, right? It would be rightful for the king to say, you're going to prison today, or you're going to die today, right? Nehemiah is the one who had to basically cast the vision for all of the people. He's the one who had to encourage them when they were discouraged because there were threats upon their life by the people in the area, right? And so some people would say it was Nehemiah. Nehemiah is the one. If he wasn't there, the wall would not have been built. Look at what happened before him. It wasn't built. Some people would say, actually, it's the laborers. Because Nehemiah cast the vision, but it took a lot of people to actually be the ones who hammered and nailed, sawed, and they actually put the thing together and they built it. So it was the Israelites who built the wall. The reality is, the scripture says, unless the Lord builds a house, they who build it labor in vain. That doesn't mean that God builds it by himself. When you look at this example in scripture, it took God to provide miraculously in the situation. It took him to raise up a leader, Nehemiah, to be able to cast vision and hold that in the face of opposition. And it took a whole group of people to rally around it and say, we believe in the vision and we're going to move forward. Does that make sense? Right? I think often what happens is some of us are waiting for God to build something in our lives, right? Some area of our lives that he has actually called you to build. And we're just sitting around, we're waiting, and we're sort of discouraged. And some of us are even depressed, right? Because it's sort of like, why isn't God building it? And God's sitting up here and he's saying, I called you to build that. I put that on you to build. Because God doesn't necessarily, he can create something out of nothing, right? He can do anything. But when I read the scriptures, it seems like he always partners with men and women of faith. He's looking for somebody who has faith enough to say, I will step in with you and partner with you. And he provides everything that's needed for it to happen. But he doesn't usually do it alone. He's partnering with someone or a group of people, if that makes sense. Some of us are in a place of sort of apathy, right? And it's sort of like when it seems like it's not being built, we sort of get to the place to say, well, he just doesn't care. It's just not what he's doing right now. And so you end up in a place of sort of feeling apathetic about the whole situation. What about when man tries to build something apart from God? So this is a classic scripture that you may know or have heard about. In Genesis 11, right, it's another building project. It's a famous building project. It's an early on building project, way back at the beginning. And in Genesis 11, verse 1, it says, now all the earth used the same language and the same words. And it came about as they journeyed east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. Then they said to one another, come, let's make bricks and fire them thoroughly. And they used brick for stone, and they used tar for mortar. And they said, come, let's build ourselves a city and a tower whose top will reach into heaven. And let's make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be scattered abroad over the face of all the earth. Now the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the men had built. And the Lord said, behold, they are one people, and they all have the same language. And this is what they have started to do. And now nothing which they plan to do will be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there confuse their language so that they will not understand one another's speech. So the Lord scattered them abroad from there over the face of all the earth, and they stopped building the city. Therefore it was named Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of all the earth. And from there, the Lord scattered them abroad over all the face of the earth. It's a crazy story, right? It takes a lot of faith to believe this one. It really does. All the people on the earth at this particular time decide, we're going to build a city and a tower. That's our plan, right? And guess what? They had really good success. They were doing it totally apart from God, but they were built something that was so impressive to God. When the Lord saw it, he's like, uh-oh, we got a problem here, right? Because it looked really good. He realized that when they work together, there's nothing impossible that they can do. It's an interesting passage of scripture. And so the Lord decides to confuse their language. He scatters the people and he stops the project. Unless the Lord builds a house, they who build it labor in vain. This doesn't mean that you can't build something apart from God, or that it won't be impressive. There's people all over the world who are building amazing things that don't have a relationship with God or any connection or any reason for it to be a glorifying unto God, right? But what they build is just that. It doesn't glorify God. What they build doesn't accomplish what's best for mankind, doesn't accomplish what's best for their own lives. It doesn't lead to abundant life. It may seem like it is impressive and amazing and glorious, and yet the reality is it doesn't actually accomplish much in the area of life and life-giving for the people who are involved or the people who will have the effects of it, if that makes sense. But God isn't a cruel father, right? He's not just sitting up in heaven, right? So you could read that passage with the Tower of Babel, and you can get a pretty weird picture of our God. Because it sort of says, he comes down and he looks at it with a critical eye and says, I don't like this. So I'm going to crush it like a grape. Like, I'm just going to destroy this. God, that's not how God is, right? He's a loving father. But he is always after our best. He is always after what is going to be the best for his children. What is going to be the best for mankind. He's always in that pursuit. If you look at Jesus, all he did was love, 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 love. And he represented the Father's heart. So if you ever question the Father's heart being a heart of love, just look at Jesus. He's perfect theology, as Bill Johnson would say. I think the reality is that God, he looks at what's happening, and we sort of see what's going on in the moment, and he can look all the way down in future. And he has eyes to see how this decision will affect this and this and this and this. And he also has a pretty wide scope as well. Like, he can see in the current, how is this going to affect all the people that are involved right now? And I think he looks at all that. He carries all of that. And he leads us in the way that's going to bring him glory, but it's also going to bring us abundant life. That's his heart. And so if he sees something, or there's an area of your life that you're not building, partnering with him, he's going to highlight it because he wants the best for you. And it's not just for you. He wants the best for everybody who's connected to you in your sphere of influence. And if you're building something in an area of your life that is not partnering with God, it's actually going to be damaging for all of those people that you really care about. And all of those strangers, those people who just sort of interface with you that you don't even know. But the reality is, when you build with God, what you build actually affects every single person in your sphere of influence, those who you know and you don't know, and it draws them closer to God because it represents something that glorifies God. It shines light on it. What's the point? The point is really simple. Like I said at the beginning, what are you currently building? What are you building in your own life? What are you building? What are you pursuing? How are you growing? What are you implementing in your life so that you're becoming more and more like Jesus? What are the things that God is highlighting that in this season I want you to focus in this area? And are you partnering with Jesus in that process? Is he the one who's guiding your steps? Or is it you saying, I just want to do this. I want to do this. I want to do this. I'm going to start doing this. Right? What about in your family? One of the things that I find in my family is if I want to build something or even establish values in our family, we have to be really intentional. Right, I'll give you a basic example. It's really easy, given all the technology, for our family to just isolate One kid's on one computer, one kid's on their iPad, one kid's on their phone, right? And we could spend our whole evenings that way. It's that easy, right? They get home from school or get off work and you just write on their device. They're happy. They're peaceful. They're enjoying life. But our family's going to hell, right? In this sense, we're building no community with one another. And sometimes when you're tired at the end of the day as a parent, it's just nice to say, go on your device, right? So then Lisa and I can just sit back and we can relax. And yet the reality is that we're not establishing a healthy family by building structures where we need to interact with one another. We need to play games with one another. We need to go places together. And so as God highlights that, what do I want? What am I building in my family? I'm not just waiting for God to say, I'm going to do this. He's looking at us and saying, what are you going to do? What are you doing to build your family into a family that glorifies God and brings abundant life to your family? Does that make sense? Just to try to give some practicals. What about your marriage? For those of you who are married, right? There's some in the house who aren't married. If you're married, how are you building your marriage? Are you building it apart from God? How's that working out? Is he building the house of your marriage? That can be a hard question. Some of our spouses in the house, they don't have a relationship with God. They're not walking with the Lord, right? But that's not a hopeless situation because you are. And so God in you is a mighty force, right? There's a woman in the healing room, she always talks about the power of four, right? Because you got the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and you. That is a force to reckon with right there. And so if you want to establish something in your marriage, if you're building something in your marriage, right, and God's with you, it can't be stopped. It's the reality. What are you building? What do you want it to look like? What about in your friendships? Do they just happen? Are you intentional? Are you building something? Take each friend, right? This is why I'm saying you're not going to do that in 30 minutes at church. You're going to spend a week or a month. Right? Journal about it. I have, these are my friends. These are the ones I want to grow with. What's God building in that, in this season? Does that make sense? Or do you just take it as it comes? If so-and-so calls, they call. If I connect with them, I connect with them. Or are you being intentional? Right? Is God actually speaking to you about each friendship? And are you giving him a platform to do so? And saying, I want to build these networks. I want to build these connections, these relationships. I want to partner with God in it. We'll go through the list faster. What about in your business? Those of you guys who own a business. Are you building it or is God building it? Is it his or is it yours? Right? I think it's a lot like Nehemiah, right? You got a big stake in it. I'm looking at the business owners. You guys got big stakes in your companies, right? But if God's not building it, it's for nothing, right? Is he the Lord of your business? What about your workplace for those of you who just have a job like me, right? Are you creating the culture in your workplace? Are you shifting? Are you building something as you go to work? Or are you just punching the clock, going home, waiting to retire? What are you building? Is God building something there? In your school, if you're a student, in your church, what's God building here at Grace? Are you waiting for him to just do it? Or do you have a part, right? That kind of stuff. In your neighborhood, what about for your retirement, right? Those of you who are anticipating retirement, those of you who just retired, is the Lord building your retirement or are you? Is he the one who's casting vision for what it's going to look like? Or are you just going to take it as it comes? Or are you know what I'm saying? Like that kind of thing. It's a hard question to look at. What about your legacy? Are you building your legacy with Jesus? When you're long gone, what's left behind? Are you building that apart from God? Right? For the next generations and the next generations, for the history of Sonoma County, for the gospel going forward in this place that you call home, are you building it apart from God? What's he building? That's what I see in the word, is God's always active. He's always moving. He's always creating. He's always looking way down the road, and he's saying, I'm establishing this now because it's going to impact this, 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 this. So bring about the revolution right over here, the reformation, right, the revival. It's what he's doing here today. And if we don't say yes and partner with him, he's got to go around all over the place to try to get to that same place. I don't know how it all works ultimately. But I know that we don't experience abundant life when we say no, or if we just try to do our own thing. So the question again, is Jesus the Lord of what you are building? Like with Nehemiah, did the project start with him? Or did it start with you? Is it his? I can't answer that for you. You are integral to the project. And I think what I see with Nehemiah is that you will need others to partner with you. So if you think you can do it all by yourself, it's probably not a good idea. Doesn't seem how the kingdom works. It's always in a community, right? Even in our marriages. Like, you think, well, it's me and my spouse, and so we're going to build something together. I find that if you don't have any outside voices speaking into your marriage, you're in trouble. And if they're only speaking when you're already in trouble, you're really in trouble, right? What does it look like to have community speaking into your relationships and allowing them to partner with you in this building process of what God's doing, right? If God's not in it, I got news. You're laboring in vain. It may feel like you're working really hard and you're doing a lot of great things, but you're laboring in vain. Like with the Tower of Babel, you might be able to create something impressive apart from God. Mankind might look at it and say, that is amazing. That's phenomenal. I can't believe they did it, right? But it will never lead you to abundant life. It just won't. And it will never glorify God. It can't. It just can't. And so the challenge for this week is to take time to reflect. And really to have another authentic assessment and to look at each area of your life and to say, what am I building? What am I actually building? And is Jesus the Lord of it? And you go one by one by one, each area, and you say, is he really the Lord of this? And if he's not, what can I do about that? How do I bring it before him? It may mean that you need to stop the project. Or it may be that he comes in and he actually helps you realign the project and redirect the project. Does that make sense? Are you waiting for God just to build it? Or are you asking the question, what is your part? What is your role? And then who is supposed to partner with you in the building process? Right? And you take each area and you say, is it who else? Are they already in position, right? Because for some of us, we're building things and people are already lined up. And for others, we don't have those people in place yet. And so that would be a good question to say, who's partnering with me as I build this thing with God? And identifying those people and then inviting them into the process. Okay. Let's pray. Jesus, I do. I pray for everybody who hears the sound of my voice. And I celebrate what you're doing. You're a God who longs for us to encounter you more, but ultimately you long for us to encounter and experience abundant life in every area of our lives. And you invite us to partner with you in the projects of our lives, and I celebrate that. That we don't just sit back and allow you to go boom, 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 right? You create this, you create this, you create this, and we just sort of enter into it. But that you say, you're looking for us to partner with you. And I pray for grace on the people of grace and any visitors that are here this morning. I just pray that there would be a drawing in to the truths of how the kingdom operates. That unless you build the house, we could build all these amazing things, but we're really laboring in vain. And so I pray for just an assessment, a time of reflection, that we would get our house in order, in a sense, and that we would really identify, are there places in our lives that we're really not building with you? That the project isn't started or hasn't been generated by you. It's really our own thing that we're trying to do apart from you. And we would repent and we would come back into alignment with you. And we would invite you really into every area of our lives. And we would get excited about the building projects that you're doing. I thank you for the testimony in Nehemiah that what couldn't happen for many, many months, right, happens in 52 days. And that's the kind of God that you are. When we partner with you, amazing things can happen in a short period of time. Things that other people have tried to have happen, things that people labored and toiled but were met with defeat, you come along and partner with us and open the door for things to come to fruition. I pray for your blessing in each of our lives. I pray for your blessing on every marriage that represents grace. I pray for your blessing in every family, your blessing in every business owner in their business, in every work situation, in every school situation for our children and youth. I pray for your blessing in those who are retiring or retired. You bless retirement. I pray for our legacies ultimately, that we would glorify you and we would release abundant life, that we would be known as a people who partnered with God, who built things with God, right, who glorified God in the process, and many, 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 many in our spheres of influence encountered the love and the power of a living God who cares. That we authentically represent Jesus and the kingdom of God wherever we go, because we're partnering with you. And so I ask, Jesus, that you would do in us what we can't do in ourselves. And then I pray that you would you would defeat the things that come against us, whether those are just thoughts. We would take them captive, right? Anything that says we can't, anything that says that sort of condemning, we just renounce those lies in Jesus' name. Any lies that say it's too late, we just renounce that in Jesus' name. Today's a good day to build. Ha. And even I pray, I have a heart for marriages today, so I pray that especially over marriage. It's not too late. It is not too late. With you and God, all things are possible. And so I pray, Jesus, that you would move in power for businesses, move in power in new and fresh ways. Yeah, we just ask for you to be glorified in the process. And then I just, so we just pray that you would, let your spirit seal this seed today, that you would remind us as we go through our week this next month, and that you would bring it to fruition, that we would start seeing the fruit and the harvest of what you planted today with this word. We trust you, and we declare that you're good, and we glorify you, and we just ask it all in Jesus' precious name. Amen.